This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The perfect mix of music, news, and interviews. Joy 94.9.
It's Wednesday, the 24th of May. Welcome to your nightly news and current affairs show, The Informer. I'm your host, Dean Arcuri.
Welcome to The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. We are committed to bringing you the day's most important news and current affairs stories from an LGBTI perspective. If it matters to the LGBTI community, we will cover it. Follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
Your hosts tonight for The Informer are Dean Arcuri and Shannon Power. On tonight's show, we'll speak to one of the leaders of a rainbow flag revolution happening in the Surf Coast Shire and how people power is making a difference.
And we will be crossing very soon to Taiwan, but we do have some breaking news out of Taiwan. They've essentially just legalised same-sex marriage in the country about 15 minutes ago. This is really huge breaking news. So what I can tell you is that the Constitutional Court just ruled that the current law violates the Constitution, which is that no one is to be discriminated against.
Wow.
And what that means, the law will be amended to fix the situation within 2 years, because the interpretation of the current law should include same-sex couples, i.e. automatically legalising same-sex marriage. And I'm sorry, I'm very emotional.
Wow, that's huge.
And I spoke to a head of an LGBTI marriage equality advocacy group in Taiwan. We'll be crossing to that very shortly. I don't know if we're going to get that up just yet, but I think we should cross to our first story while we try to do that.
Absolutely. First, we're going to take a look at the controversy over News Corp journalist Shannon Malloy and why he resigned from the New South Wales Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby. We'll be chatting to Michael Barnett and Jill Stark to hear their thoughts.
So what happened was, earlier this week, social media was set alight following a series of tweets and Facebook posts from a prominent community member. He was questioning whether it was appropriate for the New South Wales Rights Lobby to have a committee member who also worked for News Corp. Rodney Chan Cruz asked whether it was a conflict of interest for Sydney-based journalist Shannon Malloy to volunteer at the lobby.
His comments set off a fierce online debate. Both sides of the argument claimed that they were being bullied by the other side. But the intense scrutiny was too much for Malloy, who stood down from the lobby on Monday night. The issue got a lot of attention and even a mention in Parliament from Federal MP Ed Husic.
It was especially hard this morning to read in The Australian, a story by Emily Ritchie, which contained the words, "They win, I'm done." Shannon resigned from the board of the New South Wales Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby, reportedly pressured to step down from his role by activists who complained his employment with News Corp presented a conflict of interest with the lobby. This is just wrong. Shannon opening up publicly to what you had to endure was enormously brave, and you've got a courage that would surpass many of us. Your voice is hugely important, and I can't believe there are those who'd want to silence that voice. What's happened to Shannon is wrong, and he should get a place back on the New South Wales Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby, and I just wanted to send my voice of support to him through what he's going through.
The Informer reached out to the key people and organisations involved in this issue. Most declined to speak to us. However, LGBTI activist Michael Barnett, who was one of the people accused of bullying Malloy, spoke with me earlier. Thanks for joining us, Michael. There's been a bit of, I guess, controversy over the past few days. Can you give me your take on what this controversy is about?
And thanks for having me on. Look, a couple of days ago, an issue came to my attention fairly rapidly, actually, and it seemed similar to previous situations where we'd seen various organisations with a person involved in the organisation having a seemingly having a conflict in one way with the organisation's ideals and perhaps their employer. And as far as I was concerned, that's all the information I needed. When I retweeted a tweet, that's all I did was simply retweet
sure.
one or maybe two tweets.
Well,
and that's my involvement in this particular situation.
Well, I guess what's your take on that question then? Should, you know, Shannon Molloy have stepped down from the lobby given that he works at News Corp? But where do you stand on that?
It was disappointing that he felt he needed to step down from the lobby because of this particular situation. I guess interest in this was hoping to see what the gay and lesbian rights lobby in New South Wales thought of that perceived situation, really. That was all it was about. And particularly in terms of issues like when News Corp published stuff against safe schools or transgender kids and how they felt they could potentially respond to that whilst not seeming to have a conflict in terms of their board membership.
Sure. So, I mean, where do you stand on that? In that specifically, should someone who works for News Corp be on the Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby Committee?
Well, not to say they shouldn't be, but maybe there needs to be a statement from the lobby saying when we make decisions around these matters, you know, people who might have a perceived conflict aren't part of that decision. I don't know. They need to make the call on how they want it to look from their perspective. We want the best people on our boards. We want the best outcomes for our community. And it's hard to see that you can have necessarily the best outcomes when there may be a perceived conflict and, you know, maybe they won't respond to some issues around safe schools being attacked by News Corp because of people who are on their boards fearing that their jobs might be.
Sure. So in fairness to the lobby, Lauren Foy, who's one of the co-conveners, did try to respond both privately and publicly to a number of people who are attacking the lobby about the process that they go through to democratically vote in committee members. And I know that she did try to reach out to a number of people who wouldn't engage in a private conversation with her, but rather took this to social media. I just wanted to ask you as well, should people who work at or volunteer at LGBTI organisations have a particular viewpoint, worldview, philosophical, ideological, religious standpoint in order to be able to volunteer? Because I point out a couple of other their committee members. Benjamin O runs Rainbow Catholics. He's also the convener of the Global Interfaith Network. And he's very proudly and openly Catholic. But the Catholic institution itself doesn't have a great reputation when it comes to LGBTI issues. Is that a conflict of interest? And also Tom Anderson is a Nationals staff member in New South Wales. He's on the committee. But I wonder, because the Nationals don't support marriage equality, should his participation in the lobby also be questioned? Where do we draw the line at who and who cannot volunteer at LGBTI organisations?
I suppose if you're on the payroll of the Catholic Church, that could be a perceived conflict. If you're on the payroll of the Nationals, then that doesn't look really good if you're working for an organisation that's actively opposing marriage equality or LGBTI inclusion in safe schools and stuff like that. It doesn't look good. Maybe we need to sort of have a closer look at what type of people we want to make up the boards of our organisations that are fighting for our rights.
Obviously, there's bullying going in a lot of directions. Do you think that the LGBTI community does have a problem with bullying?
I think the bigger issue here is that we are being forced into a corner by the, the organisations like News Corp around our rights, and we're having to face some pretty ugly situations. And in trying to unravel all that, we find ourselves in this conflict. What I was particularly disappointed by was the response from the Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby that was published in The Australian last night, in the article in which The Australian called me an internet troll, where the Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby's statement said that the people who went on these attacks against Shannon and against the lobby should be held to account and should face some consequences. Well, in all of that, they're having an attack at Gay and Lesbian Rights activists or LGBTI activists, but they didn't once call out the media outlets that are publishing all this intolerance and hate. I mean, I'd like to think that the Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby actually could take a stand, grow a backbone and stand up for our community rather than attacking the people in the community.
Is that a suggestion that the Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby in New South Wales doesn't do enough for the community?
Absolutely. Absolutely. What have they said about all of this? Where are their outcries of, against safe schools attacks and against marriage equality attacks and all the Rebecca Urbans and all the Andrew Bolts and Miranda Devines of this world? Where are their statements against all of that?
My final question, I guess we are under scrutiny by News Corp. I mean, obviously they're going to jump on any opportunity to drag the community, for lack of a better term. If people do have an issue or a gripe with an LGBT organisation, should they address it privately rather than on social media?
I don't know. I mean, if the organisation has a reputation and is credible and will respond in a productive and supportive way, then that's, by all means, go through a private mechanism. And if you think that there's a bigger community issue and maybe there's some cover-up going on or people aren't being transparent, then, social media's out there and it works. I mean, in this particular situation, I personally feel that it was unfortunate that a person felt that they were being attacked and there were attacks on a particular person. It wasn't any of my doing. I didn't actually attack a person. And I don't want other people within the community to go on attacks. And I certainly don't want to be the person that's called out as the bad guy in all of this. I felt that I received a fair bit of flack for something that I didn't necessarily do. And the tweets that I retweeted have subsequently been deleted. So there is none of this evidence that anything ever happened now. So,
Michael Barnett, LGBTI activist, thank you for joining us on The Informer.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
This is The Informer, Joy's nightly news and current affairs program. The New South Wales Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby issued a statement last night condemning the online attack. The statement said people within the LGBTI community should work together to achieve equality.
One person who agreed with the lobby was former AIDS journalist Jill Stark. Here she is sharing her thoughts.
Jill Stark, welcome to The Informer on Joy 94.9. You've been very vocal over the past few days about this controversy surrounding the New South Wales Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby and one of their former committee members, Shannon Molloy. Where do you stand on the whole issue?
I think it's incredibly sad what's happened over the last few days. It really seems like a big distraction from some of the issues facing the community. As I always say when I'm on Joy, I would like to point out that I am not a member of the LGBTI community. I feel that I'm an ally, but I would never wish to speak on behalf of the community. But I have obviously very close ties to that community. And just, I spoke to Shannon the other night when this happened and he was absolutely devastated. Now, for the people who are saying it wasn't a personal attack, that's just completely disingenuous because, of course, it was. The end game was to have him step down or be removed from his position. My question to the activists, which none of them have been able to answer in all the forums that I've asked this question, is what has actually been achieved by having a gay man step down from a gay rights organisation, particularly a gay man who has used his platform at News Corp to actually reach the very people that the community really needs to reach. It's all very well preaching to the choir through ABC and Fairfax and the gay press, but surely the News Corp readers are the ones that need to be reached.
In your time in media, have you ever come across an instance where the place that you were working for had a position on an issue that perhaps didn't align with your values? And how do you reconcile that as a journalist?
I mean, I spent 10 years on staff at The Age, and there were frequent occasions where I disagreed with the editorial line, and that was taken up internally. There's plenty things that we write about in The Age that I would have disagreed with. Like, I think you really need to make a separation between where somebody works and the advocacy that they do in the community. But also, I think it's incredibly naive to think that people from the LGBTI community who work within these organisations like News Corp aren't actually having those conversations internally. And what is the end point here? Does Michael and Rodney, would they like to see no gay people at all working for News Corp? Like, how is that actually going to achieve anything? And I've seen some really nasty comments pointed at Shannon in the last few days on some of the LGBTIQ forums, so saying that somehow Shannon is an Uncle Tom, which is an incredibly derogatory thing to say to someone, so that basically you can't be a gay man and work for News Corp. It would be so great if we all had such fine moral standards as the people making news. And I'm yet to see what advances have been made for equality by the behaviour we've seen in the last few days.
So there are people on both sides of this debate that have said that they've been bullied extensively over the past few days. And I know that you also took to Twitter to raise your concerns about the issue. Should these discussions be held in private so that people aren't the targets of bullying?
I think that's a good place to start, is why was this raised on social media? Why was it not raised behind closed doors with New South Wales Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby? Why does it have to happen so publicly? Now, they can say, well, we didn't name the journalist individually, but of course it was obvious who it was, and of course that person's going to feel under attack, particularly when this person has written extensively about his vicious history of bullying. Now, this has scarred, and so many people in the gay community would have these experiences of being scarred by homophobic bullying and high school, and now to have to face that from within his own community. Just imagine what that would have felt like, even if you're saying, oh, well, we didn't target him personally. Of course he's going to feel targeted, because of course the end game was to have him removed from that position. I think it's a little bit rich for people who have a history of publicly attacking people that they disagree with to suddenly turn around and say they are being bullied. Now, I know that Shannon used some language in some of his responses to Michael and to Rodney, which we would say were quite colourful. But to be honest, if somebody was coming at me so aggressively, I probably would not be so polite in my response back to them either.
So what do we do moving forward? How do we resolve these kind of conflicts within the community?
I think everyone needs to calm down. Like, it's obviously not helpful to have this level of hate in any kind of debate, and really have a look at who the real enemies are here. Shannon Molloy is not the enemy. I think there really seems to be quite a myopic vision of advocacy for a handful of people who think it's their way or the highway, and they refuse to listen to anyone else. Like, I just think really people need to take a look at themselves and to calm down and think about the actual end result of what they're doing. I know that everyone's passionate. Everyone, you would hope, wants the same thing, which is for people to be treated equally and for the community to get the respect that it deserves. But this kind of tactic is so counterproductive. You're already seeing today people like the Australian Christian Lobby and others using this incident as an example of what they're describing as LGBTI bullying tactics. So really all that has been achieved here is a free kick to the very people that these advocates are, you know, trying to condemn. Really have a think about what you're doing before you sort of furiously start typing on your keyboard.
Jill Stark, thanks for joining us on The Informer.
Thanks for having me.
You are on The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs show. I'm Shannon Power, and we have Dean Arcuri in the studio. So you might have heard at the top of the show some breaking news out of Taiwan. They've become a leader in the Asia-Pacific region, and they have just legalised same-sex marriage. The country's constitutional court has been considering for a few months now whether marriage equality should be legal, because Taiwan's constitution says all citizens, irrespective of sex, shall be equal before the law, which means the Constitutional Court has just ruled that not recognising same-sex marriage is discriminatory. This is fantastic news, obviously, but I managed to, just moments after the decision was announced, I got on the phone Wayne Lin, who's one of the leading advocates, marriage equality advocates. He's also the chairperson of the Tongzhu hotline, LGBT hotline in Taipei. It was an incredibly emotional moment. He spoke about people standing up and cheering outside of the court. He was emotional. I'm emotional. Here is my chat with Wei Lin from Taiwan now. So tell us, what has just happened in Taiwan?
Okay, basically the Constitutional Court just declared the decision regarding whether the current law not giving same-sex couple any legal protection for marriage violates our constitution or not. And the answer is yes. It violates our current constitution, and based on our democratic system, the legislative yuan has 2 years to amend the current law to fix the situation. If after 2 years the situation is not fixed, then the same-sex couple, they can just go directly to register as a couple right now. 2 years after today.
So does that mean they'll be able to register as a civil ceremony or a real marriage?
Basically, technically, that's not decided yet, because just like I mentioned earlier, because right now we have two versions of the Civil Amendment in our legislature right now. And so the judge just say, wait, how to form the law, how to amend the law will lead to the legislature's decision. They will not demand.
This is fantastic news. You've been campaigning for marriage equality for a long time. How do you feel?
Well, actually, when I know the result, I like almost cry, and the whole crowd was shouting, you know, so happy, because we have been fighting for this marriage equality things for over three decades, and now we actually have a very, very good milestone already. So next step, of course, we will try to lobby the legislators to more public education campaign so that we can push our civil code amendment forward.
So just to give me an understanding, this means that in the Constitution, it is illegal to discriminate against same-sex couples. So can that from this point forward, no one can deny, I guess, a marriage license or a civil partnership certificate, whatever the decision is, from this point forward or in 2 years' time?
Yeah, I think, right now, there's, basically, the grand judge just doesn't want to, you know, give clear indication regarding what law to be made, what's the form of the marriage for same-sex couple. So, but as a marriage equality coalition, we are very clear that we want to push for the civil code amendment to legalize same-sex marriage, because the opposition always say civil code belongs to heterosexual couples, because marriage is belongs to one man and one woman, and we feel it's not a right argument, and actually this is a kind of discrimination against us. So we want to push for, when we legalize the same-sex marriage, we also want to use the same civil code as heterosexual couples.
So you want to, there's still a bit of a fight to have the law legislated in Parliament. Is that correct?
Yeah, we need to influence them to vote for our proposal. Basically, that's our target.
But in the meantime, how would you describe today's victory?
Ancient history?
How would you describe the victory today? Is it?
I think it's a very, very important milestone because this is just like this is the first time Taiwan's Constitution Court takes a case and make the decision that in favor of us. So it's a very important victory for not just for marriage equality, but also for LGBT movement in Taiwan. We have visibility, we are recognized. So I think basically continue, just like I said, to do more public education campaign, not just for marriage equality, but generally, get more visibility for LGBT groups in Taiwan.
Joy 94.9.
Your community is our business. Joy 94.9.
This is Joy 94.9, The Informer, your nightly news and current affairs program. I'm Shannon Power.
And I'm Dean Arcuri.
And what a show it has been. We broke the news, or we revealed the breaking news, that Taiwan has just legalized same-sex marriage. A leader in the Asia-Pacific region, Australia, needs to follow in their example, and soon. Hopefully this kicks the Australian government's butt into shape. But unfortunately, because we did break that news, we weren't able to get to our Surf Coast Shire story, which we're very sad to say, but we will try and cover it soon. Dean, do you want to give the listeners a bit of an idea what that story was about?
That story was about the decision last night. The Surf Coast Shire, which includes Geelong, Torquay in southwest and Torquay in southwest Victoria, made a decision in April to raise a flag, a rainbow flag outside their civic centre, and to keep that flowing until marriage equality happens in Australia. Last night, a decision was made by a councillor, a motion was made by a councillor to have that removed and to have the flag to go down and to have further consultation with the community, because the entire community was taking this stance, and to make sure that it was one that the entire community felt that the council should stand for.
So it's, you know, there's a lot of different views, and I like the fact that the community is like, put your rainbow flags out, and everyone's ordering a bunch of flags to put up in their homes in solidarity.
True, but even when the original meeting occurred and with the original motion and then also the motion from last night to have further consultation, there was both for and against views. The one important thing to say is that all the councillors that were against it are supporters of marriage equality. This is a shire that since 2014 has supported marriage equality.
Okay, so it's about not being supportive of marriage equality, it's just about making sure that through this act of symbolism, the entire community is on board.
And if
it,
a councillor is going to represent that they will represent their community fully.
Isn't that fantastic that, you know, there's a, you know, the local councils are sort of reaching out into these really national issues, and at least there's a debate happening and a discussion happening. Well, we've had quite a full show, haven't we?
We have.
It's nothing like running around. It was like a bit of the scene out of the newsroom, HBO show a little bit earlier.
But that was an amazing, it was not only a wonderful interview that you got, it was amazing to be able to hear that and to be able to actually hear what's going on that's just literally gone on in the past 45 minutes.
And I'm sorry for not being able to contain my emotion at the top of the show. I found it really heartwarming and amazing that Taiwan has passed marriage equality. Hopefully it happens for us soon.
We'd like to thank tonight's guests, Michael Barnett and Jill Stark.
And Wayne Lim.
And we'd like to thank our extended Informer team, including our panellist, Corey, for putting together tonight's show. My name is Dean Arcuri.
And my name's Shannon Power.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.